This shir is about the Haggadah. It's about time to start the Haggadah. So I want to tell you something. Must have been about 2 months ago, my Maytag dryer that I brought on Aliyah simply had come to the end of the road. It was no longer, we were no longer able to resuscitate it. And that's it, so I had to buy a new dryer. Don't ask how it happened, but it happened that I bought a Zanussi. And when I get the Zanussi, I find out, first of all, Zanussi is an Italian company. And it was built in Poland. And I have to be very careful. The Poles are very sensitive. Some Poles may know how to make dryers. Not necessarily all Poles. So I didn't know what to do with the thing. But what happened was, it came with instructions in English. It's not always easy to follow instructions. I have a camera that I bought 3-4 years ago and I still can't figure out the instructions. My cell phone, it's a new one my son gave me. I'm so confused, I don't know. But at least I had instructions in English. They're all wondering where I'm going. They don't have a clue, all of you. So here it is. 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, I bought another appliance. And I come home. This is a smaller appliance, a phone. I come home, and I open it up, and the instructions are in Portuguese, Afghanese, Singaporean. So I went into a panic. I don't know what to do. I went back to the store. They said, "Don't worry, we're going to send you by email instructions in English." Do you know what that means? I didn't get anything. But then I had a son-in-law at the house, and he scoured the internet, and he found me and printed out for me 56 pages of instructions, how to use the phone and how to connect it. I haven't done a thing yet because I'm intimidated by the 56 pages that are in English. Okay. So, in Yiddish, they would say, "Kegen vos zog ich das?" What am I talking about over here? The night of Pesach, there's a mitzvah. The central mitzvah of the night of Pesach, aside from eating matzah and eating maror and the four cups, is the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, relating the story of the Exodus from Egypt. We relate the story. The means by which we relate the story is through the Haggadah. Our rabbis were brilliant. They created a Haggadah that, regardless of how long you're going to study the Haggadah, there's always something new. And some years ago, it struck me after a lot of effort that the Haggadah comes with instructions. In the structure of the Haggadah, we have not only the fulfillment of the mitzvah, relating the story of the Exodus. Not only do we have the story, not only do we have the fulfillment of the mitzvah, but the instructions how to fulfill it. Not in Portuguese, not in Afghanese, and not in Singaporeans. It comes in Hebrew. And if you get a picture of the totality of the Haggadah, I think it's going to make it a great deal more intelligible and beautiful. It's beautifully done. It happens to be most probably the earliest sefer that was written following the completion of the 24 books of the Tanakh. It was already most probably the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, the men of the Great Assembly, after the return to Eretz Yisrael from the Babylonian exile. They composed it. So let's just take a look at what you have in front of you. The first three pages of Haggadah, not the whole Haggadah, starting from Halach Ma'anya, you'll see that on the right-hand side, Halach Ma'anya. Okay. Now, what didn't come out too good, I'm having a little problem these days, but all right. I have numbers there. By Halach Ma'anya is number one, Manishtana is number two, Avodah Mayinu is three, Ma'aseh Rebbe Eliezer is four, Omer Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah is five, and on the left-hand side, we come up with 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 is V'hishomda Lavusenu V'lanu Shelo echad bilvad amad aleinu lechaloteinu Elo shebechol dor v'dor omdim aleinu lechaloteinu v'akodesh baruch hu matzileinu miyodam. This stood us in good stead to our fathers and to us. Not a single nation stood up against us to destroy us, but behold, dor v'dor, in every generation, omdim aleinu lechaloteinu, they rise up against us to destroy. By the way, how did they write that 2,500 years ago? How did they know? First of all, how did they know that the Jewish people would survive? How did they know that there would be one who wants to destroy us in every generation? I was going to say, thank God for Iran. So that the Haggadah is correct. The Haggadah was correct in every generation. How did they know it 2,500 years ago? How did they know we'd survive? But they wrote it. It's an awesome piece, V'hishamda, with Shweki and without Shweki. It's beautiful. It's powerful. What is the V'hi? We'll get to that. The V'hi really is the covenant that was entered into between God and Avram, our father Avram. That's also going to be in Haggadah. Now, you'll see after number 10 comes number 11. And right before 11, I write, the Sipur begins. The story of the Exodus begins with the words, Tzei Ulamad, go out and study. And they take us back, Ma'bikesh Lavan Harami Laso Tat, what did Lavan the Aramean, what did he want to do to us? And then begins the story of Yaakov going down. That's the Sipur. The Sipur begins there. What's everything before the Sipur? If the purpose of the Haggadah is that we should fulfill the mitzvah of relating the story on the night of Pesach, so it should have started by number 11. So you know what? 1 through 10, you know what they are? They're the instruction booklet. And watch, I'll show you how it works. Manishtana, the Mishnah says, Mosgin kos sheni, you pour the second cup, v'kan haben shoel, and here the son asks. Up until this point was Kiddush. The cup of Kiddush is a cup that we have on every Shabbos and every Yontif. The difference all of a sudden that strikes the son is, we're pouring a second cup of wine for everybody. This is different. There's something happening here. And we added a number of things before that we dunked potato or parsley into salt water. We broke the matzah in half. But here, from Manishtana begins the story, relating the story. The story has to be related to somebody. And the Torah requires that somebody ask. It has to be a matter of a question, and then it's answered. Even to the point that if somebody is having a Seder alone, he asks himself, and then he goes further. Why did the halacha want it this way? And that we, I hope we'll yet get to it. There are four different places in Torah where it says, V'higadeta l'bincha, tell your son. V'hoya kish'olcha bincha leima, machar leima, when your son will ask you tomorrow, saying, Mazot, what's this Seder all about? Torah expresses it through question and answer. Number one, the most natural human thing for a person to do is when they see something that is strange, you ask a question. But more than that, the moment somebody asks a question, all of his attention is now riveted on that answer. It's the means and the way in which we're going to get the story across. Number two is Avodah Mayinu, the Pharaoh Mitzrayim. This is not really the story yet. Watch, let's read this paragraph. We were slaved, we were enslaved to Paro in Egypt. Vayotzienu Hashem Elokeinu Misham, and God took us out of there, biyad chazak, with a strong hand, ubizroa netuya, with outstretched arm. Ve'ilu lo hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu et avoteinu Mitzrayim, if the Holy One, blessed be He, would not have taken our fathers out of Egypt, hadei adnu uvanenu uvenei vanenu mishubad mayinu lefaro, us and our children and our children's children would have been enslaved to Paro in Egypt. All right? You know what they're doing in this paragraph? In this paragraph, they're telling us, and this is going to be a recurrent theme in the Haggadah, you have to make the Haggadah relevant to 5,779. If the whole Sipur, if the story is going to be just about what happened then, long ago, and far away, one has not fulfilled the mitzvah. You have to bring it down to the here and the now. By the way, that's of course done in the V'hi Sha'amda, that God is doing for us in every generation what He did for our forefathers there. And over here, it makes it even more relevant. We would not be where we are or what we are if not for that exodus from Egypt. Us, here, today. And now, here comes the punchline. Even though we all are wise and we're all understanding, Kulanu Zakein, we're all elders. Kulanu Yodamata Torah, even we know the Torah. Mitzvah Aleinu L'sape B'Yitziat Mitzrayim. This is how it begins. There's a mitzvah to tell, to relate the story of the exit. It's a mitzvah, okay? And here come the instructions. We've already begun, but first we establish that there is a mitzvah. V'chol ha'marbe L'sape B'Yitziat Mitzrayim Hadeza Mishubach. And the more you talk about the exodus from Egypt or about all of the great things that God has done through us in all generations and even more in our generation, that's the mitzvah. That's the definition. And we're going to fulfill it. When we get to number 11, we're going to fulfill it. There are a few other things you have to know. Maisa, the story of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, how many of them are? Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Tarfon, five. Shahu Mesubim b'Bnei Brak. They sat around the Seder table in B'nei Brak, Vayu Mesapren b'Yitziat Mitzrayim Kol Otah HaLaila, and they were relating the story of the Exodus from Egypt that whole night, Ad Shebo Talmideim v'Amru Lahem, until their students came and told them, Rabbeinu, our rabbis, Higi Azman Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris, time to read Shema of the morning has arrived. We're going to get back to this. But at least what this does on its simplest level is if we had said that there's a mitzvah of Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Chol HaMarbe, the one who expands and talks at length about it, this is praiseworthy. So they bring us a story of five giants of Jewish history who sat a whole night in Bnei Brak and read the story. But this little paragraph is so powerful, we're going to get back to it. Omar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, I'm nearly 70 years old, v'lo zachiti, and I didn't, lo zachiti shetei omer yitziat Mitzrayim ba'leilos, I did not succeed in convincing the rabbis that Yitziat Mitzrayim should be said at night. We are switching to a second mitzvah. There are two mitzvahs in the Torah. There's the mitzvah of Zechira, of mentioning Yitziat Mitzrayim, and that's a mitzvah every day and every night. Every day and every night. But the night of Pesach, it's not a mitzvah of Zechira, it's a mitzvah of Sipur, relating. Now there was a difference. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, I'm nearly 70 years old. So the Gemara, of course, explains, what do you mean he's nearly 70 years old? He wasn't 70 years old. He was 18, but he was elected to be the president of the Sanhedrin. But how can you come look like a Ginga Bicycle and be the president of the Sanhedrin? So he got, there's something about a white beard, you know, that very nice. So he looked the part. And I did not succeed in convincing the rabbis that Yitziat Mitzrayim should be said at night. No, they agreed that every day you have to say Yitziat Mitzrayim, but not at night. Achad Drosha Ben Zoma, until Ben Zoma came along and he expounded on the Pasuk Shenema. Here is the Pasuk that tells us about the mitzvah of Zechira, remembering, Laman Tizkor et Yom Tzeitcha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yemei Chayecha, in order that you should remember the day that you went out of Egypt, all the days of your life. We're not talking about a mitzvah only on the night of Pesach, the night of the 15th of Nisan. Kol Yemei Chayecha, you're supposed to remember it. And what did Ben Zoma say? Yemei Chayecha, the days of your life, that's the days. Kol Yemei Chayecha, the added word, all, that includes night as well. The Chachamim Omrim, and the Chachamim said, Yemei Chayecha ha'olam hazeh, Kol Yemei Chayecha lehavi li mot ha'moshiach. The Kol Yemei Chayecha means, even in the period beyond history, the days of Moshiach. We're going to get back to this. There's a lot to say about this. Okay, I'm going to have to start getting back at some point. But let's go a little quicker. The instruction booklet. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenasan Tor L'Am Yisrael, Baruch Hu. Number 6. Your child is supposed to ask and you're supposed to answer. Now wait a minute. Do you answer every child in precisely the same way? Or do you have to take into consideration the individual differences between the children? Incidentally, going back many years, one of the first things I did with the Haggadah is I was able to demonstrate how the Haggadah was a handbook for how parents should educate children. And the whole Haggadah is that. Remember, the father is not telling the son anything he's not going to do himself. Let's go. I'm eating matzah, you eat matzah. I'm saying the Haggadah, you say the Haggadah. And you know, there's the idea of audio-visual aids in my day, you know, audio-visual aids. Today, in the day of the computer, they laugh at us. But in the Haggadah, you see, matzah zu, this matzah, moror zed, that moror, you have to show him what you're doing. You have to do it with him. You have to explain to him why you are doing it. I mean, all of these are so fundamental in the whole idea of education. But wait, let's get back to our structure. So here it says, first of all, Kenegat Arbo Bonim. Torah is talking about four different kinds of children. You can't raise all children in precisely the same way. You have to take into consideration that they're different. They have different strengths. They have different weaknesses. They have different needs. They have different aspirations. You have to be able to tune in or plug into your children to know exactly how to deal with them. All right, that's number six. We'll get back to that later. I'm going to get back to everything later. All right. Number seven. So now what have we said so far? That there's a mitzvah to relate the story of the Exodus. And if you expand on it, that's even better. It should be by means of question and answer. And you have different kinds of children, so you have to answer them differently. But you know what the instruction booklet hasn't yet told us? When? When? When is this mitzvah supposed to be performed? So in number seven, the Haggadah says, Yochol, I would think that the mitzvah begins from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's this coming Shabbos. This coming Shabbos is Shabbos, and it's Rosh Chodesh, and it's Parshas HaChodesh. That's three Sifrei Torah going to be taken out this Shabbos. So the Haggadah says, maybe we should start the Sipur Yetziyat Mitzrayim from Rosh Chodesh. Talmud Lomos, it says in Torah, by Yom Ahu, on that day. Iba Yom Ahu, if it says that day, I would think, Yachol, I would think, Mibaod Yom, while it's still day. Talmud Loma Ba'avur Zeh, it says in Torah, Ba'avur Zeh, because of this, Lo Amati Ela B'Shah, Shiash Matzah, Umara, Munachim Fanecha, the time for Sipur, Yitziat Mitzchayim, is when you have Matzah and Mora there before you. There's a machloket in the Gemara. Where does the story begin? I mean, everybody holds, of course, that the story begins at the beginning. But what's the beginning? So there's a machloket between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says, Mitchila ovde avodah zorah har yo avotenu. You have to go all the way back to Avram Avinu. The story begins with Avram. Our fathers were idolaters. And the end of the story is that God brought us to be his people. Shmuel says, no, the story begins with the enslavement in Egypt. Avodim hayinu lefaro b'mitzchayim. The story begins with Yaakov Avinu, not with Avram Avinu. The important thing over here is we do both. We've said Avodim hayinu, and we've now say, Mitchila ovdei avodah zorah hayo atenu, at first our fathers were idolaters. But in four words, the Mishnah tells us how you tell a story. The four words are matchil begnut umesayim b'shevach. Matchil, you begin, begnut, with the unsavory, the unhappy parts of Jewish history. Umesayim, and you end with the praise of God. Yeah? We were enslaved. We were beaten. We were downtrodden. Our children were thrown in the nail. Yeah, yeah. We have to say the whole story. And it's obvious why matchil begenut, you begin with the unhappy period. Umesayim b'shevach, and you end without. You can't tell a story by saying, and they lived happily ever after. That's not a story. Tell the story of the Six-Day War by beginning on the fourth day of the war with the capture of the liberation of Yerushalayim. No. In order to understand and appreciate the Six-Day War. Oh, do you have to study the month of May of 1967? You have to remember and study that. The fear that gripped world Jewry. There was the sense of doom. Chas v'sholem, another Holocaust is coming. You have to feel all of that, and only then, ah! Same thing here. These are the instructions. These are the instructions. And number 10, and number 9 is, in the instruction booklet, we're told you should know that everything that happened over here had been promised by God, and God keeps his promises. Baruch Shomer Haftachato Yisrael. Number 9, blessed is the one who keeps his promises, his guarantees that he gives to Israel. Baruch Hu, blessed is he. We'll get back to that later. I'm going to need another 2-3 months before Pesach. Okay. So where to begin? Where to begin? That's a good question, where to begin. But you know what I'd like to begin with? Number 4. Nisa b'Rebbe Eliezer v'Rebbe Yoshua v'Belozov and Azariah v'Rebbe Akiva v'Rebbe Tarfon. These 5 rabbis are in B'nai Brak, and they're all having the Seder together. There's been so much written on this, because there are a lot of problems with this. Rebbe Akiva is the one who lived in B'nai Brak. All the others lived elsewhere throughout Eretz Yisrael. Rebbe Eliezer lived in Lud. Rebbe Yoshua lived in Pekin. Rebbe Eliezer ben Azariah was the head of the Sanhedrin in Yavne. Rebbe Tarfon, I believe the Gemara one place says that he also lived in Lud. And Rebbe Akiva lives in B'nai Brak. Rebbe Akiva is a student of Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yoshua. What are the rabbeim doing by the student? Furthermore, there's a Gemara where Rebbe Eliezer says, I praise those who stay home for Yontif. And here it is, Yontif, and Rebbe Eliezer is not at home. The Mefarshim have dealt with this throughout the centuries. And ultimately, what it really comes down to is the following. Here is a piece of Jewish history here in the Haggadah. And of course, the end that the students say to their rabbeim, they come in the morning and tell them, hey, you know, it's time to say Kriyat Shema in the morning, has always been a source of, you know, in B'nai Brak, that's what they do, you know. The students tell the rabbeim when to say Kriyat Shema. But this is a very, very serious piece of Gemara, a very serious piece of Gemara. You know, now I come to think of it, what I'm going to say now is, in one form or another, said by Rav Soloveitchik, it was said by Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook, it was said, I believe, by Moshe Tzvi Neri. It's interesting, you know, the sort of, no, I don't want to, you know, the Zionists, you understand, that something very important was taking place that night. The period of these great Talmidei Chachamim was one of the worst, difficult, most painful periods in Jewish history. The Jewish people were being crushed under the heel of Rome. Rome had prohibited the study of Torah. Rome had prohibited the circumcision. The Romans were brutal and cruel. And it was reaching the point that they could no longer live under the domination of Rome. They arrive in B'nai Brak because Rabbi Akiva is the one student, though he was, he's known throughout the Talmud as the one who was able to breathe confidence and hope into the Jewish people. They needed him. And there he goes. More Gemara. Gemara says, Lud. Two of them are from Lud. Two of them are from Lud. And in Lud, the KGB, the NKVD, the Stasi of Rome were in Lud. The agents of Rome were in Lud. The Gestapo couldn't talk about anything in Lud. What they want to do is they want to plan a rebellion against Rome. So they go to Rabbi Akiva. That's what they're doing that night. That's what they're doing the course of the night. They're talking about getting out of the Egypt in which we find ourselves now. But it depended. It depended on an army. Who was going to do it? Who was going to go out and fight? They entrust this to the students. And the students come in the morning and they say that they have decided they're going to fight. They're going to fight Rome. And how do they say it? What's the code? Higiazman kriyat shma shel shachris. The time to say the shma in the morning has come. A new dawn has to rise. And kriyat shma says that we subject ourselves to only one, God himself, nobody else. And we have to cast off the yoke of Rome. Go fast forward, 2,000 years. Nothing remains of Rome except the Arch of Titus and a few other Tzibrachana, Colosseum, Pantheon, what's left of Greece and of Rome and of all the rest of them, of Persia. What? Nothing is left of them. So this is why they're all there. They are there to plan the great rebellion, and it was a great rebellion. I've always quoted Cicero, the Roman historian, who said, when Judea rebels, Judea was the smallest province of the global Roman Empire, but when Judea rebels, the entire Roman Empire quakes. That's what happened. That's why all of these people who should be elsewhere are all there together. Omar of Elazar ben Azariah. Hareyani, I want you to turn over to the very last page. Just turn it over. Turn it over, then turn it around straight. You should be able to read it. Okay. Number two. This piece of the Haggadah comes from a Mishnah and a Gemara at the very end of the first chapter in Brachot. Mishnah. Mazkirin Yitziat Mitzrayim Balelot. And they explain that it means the third chapter of Shema, the parsha of Tzitzis, in which it says, Ania Shem Elokecha, I am God, your God who took you out of the land of Egypt. We're just going to read the what's in dark letters. Maskirin Yitziat Mitzrayim Balelos. Omar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Here it is. Straight from the Mishnah. Omar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Harei Ani Kven Shiv Mishona Velo Zachiti Shetei Omei Yitziat Mitzrayim Balelot. I did not win my victory over the rabbis until Ben Zoma Darshin Shenema Lamantiskar Yom Tzeitchom Yeretz Mitzrayim Kol Yemei Chayecha. Yemei Chayecha, the days of your life, that's the Yomim. Kol Yemei Chayecha, all the days of your life, those are Alelos. This is in the Haggadah. The Chachamim Omrim, Yemei Chayecha Ha'olam Azeh, this world, this period of history, Kol Lahavi, the word Kol, all-inclusive, comes Lahavi L'mot HaMashiach. Let's learn the Gemara. Omalem Ben Zoma L'Chachamim, Ben Zoma, this is the continuation of the dialogue between Ben Zoma and the rabbis. Ben Zoma says, Omalem Ben Zoma L'Chachamim, Ben Zoma said to the Chachamim, V'chimaskirin Yitziat Mitzrayim L'Yemot HaMashiach? Are we still going to mention the Exodus from Egypt in the days of Mashiach? V'alo kvar nema. He's going to quote for them a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Incidentally, this pasuk, precisely the same pasuk, appears twice in Yirmiyahu. Here they note chapter 23. It's also in chapter 16 or 17. The same pasuk. Listen to the pasuk. Hine yamim ba'im niyum Hashem. God says, behold, days are coming. V'lo yomru od. They will not say anymore, Chai Hashem, I swear by God. Asher helot b'nei Yisrael mi'eretz Mitzrayim. We're not going to say, thank God that he brought up the children of Israel from Egypt. Kiyim, you know what you're going to... A time will come when we're going to say, Chai Hashem, Asher Hela, who brought up, Vahasher Hevi, and who brought at Zerah Beit Yisrael, the seed of the houses of Israel, Me'eretz Tzafona, from the north, Umikol Ha'aratzos, and from all of the lands, Asher Hidachtim Shom, that I dispersed them there. Yirmiyahu says clearly twice, we're no longer going to say, thank God who took us out of Egypt, because there's going to be something far greater than that. What's going to be far greater than that? Jews brought from all over the world back to Eretz Yisrael. That's what we're going to thank them for. Amrulo, so the rabbi said, you're right, Ben Zoma, you're right. But it doesn't mean that we will no longer mention Yitziat Mitzrayim. What it means is, the Exodus from Egypt is going to be secondary to the great ingathering of the exiles. Lo she'te'okei yitziyah Mitzrayim mimekoma. Not that the Exodus from Egypt was going to be uprooted from its place. Ela she'tehei shibud malchus ikah. The fact that we no longer have the yoke of the nations upon us, that's going to be the most important, and Yitziat Mitzrayim, the exit from Egypt, is second. Now, I wonder, isn't it possible that the time has already arrived? Can we say what Yirmiyahu said? Chai Hashem, by God's life, Asher Hela, Vashadhavian, who brought the seed of the house of Israel from the lands of the north, Umikol Harotzos, and from all of the lands, Ashadidachdam, we can't say that? Why is everybody so quiet? Well, I think we certainly should. In my family, I make sure that we say this pasuk during the meal or during the reading of the Haggadah. I mean, it's a very Gemara. Even the rabbis agree with Ben Zoma. We're in a different time frame. We're in a different period. Jews here from over 120, 130 countries, that's not described by this pasuk. You know what? Everybody's afraid change. You know, like, the Medina. Okay, yeah. About it. So I'm machmer. I may not get every last drop of dust out of the house, but I am machmer that by the Seder, I say this pasuk in Yirmiyahu. And since it appears in Yirmiyahu twice, I say it twice. And I think that I have fulfilled the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim l'mahadrin min ha-mahadrin. Oh, that's very interesting. He's asked, maybe the fifth cup of wine represents that. Well, the fifth cup of wine is really for Eliyahu, which represents the next stage in history. And, you know, maybe I'll be Machmer more this year, and I'll say it by the fifth cup of wine. Or you know what? I'll say it during the Seder and again during the fifth cup of wine. Yes. Let me ask you a question. What happens if the Jews of America decide they don't want to come? Do we have to wait till they come? Do we have to wait till they come? Mashiach is not going to coerce anybody to come to Eretz Israel. God doesn't want Jews here who don't want to live here. You understand? So therefore, what's going to happen? Jews of America say they don't want to come. They don't want to come. But is every word, does it say all the Jews? Does it say all the Jews? Those who want to come. How do you like that? How do you like that? Those who want to come. And I think what's significant is Eretz Tzafona. What's Tzafona from us? Russia. And I'll tell you, I happen to be reading a book now that I nearly page by page, I'm so overwhelmed emotionally. It's the story of the struggle for Soviet Jewry. It's entitled, When They Come For Us, We'll All Be Gone. What a book. It's a blockbuster. And it's just been translated into Hebrew. You know what? I see Rabbi Akiva and his conspirators there. I'm right now I'm up to around 1968. The year after the Six-Day War, there are all sorts of cells and groups of Jews all over the Soviet Union. They want out. It's such a story of courage, bravery. It's inspirational. They fought the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, and they brought it down. They did it. You like the...
Yes. Who wrote the book?
I was afraid you'd ask me that. Gal is his first name. I forgot the second name. I can't, you know, I start a book, I forget what I read on the front page. So, we're talking about awesome courage, awesome strength. God Almighty. And then there are those who couldn't care less. Yes. Yes, we certainly did. We certainly did. And anybody who was part of the struggle for Soviet Jewry has done a great mitzvah. What? Yes, yes. I remember when she came to America a number of times. All right. The important thing is, so now we've done two. What have we done? We've talked about Maaseh Rabbi Eliezer. We talked about 4 and 5. So now I want to tell you about Halach Mo'anya. We left that out. We don't leave anything out. Yes?
Beckerman.
You're right. You're right. Gal Becker. Oh, yeah, I see all the Googlers over here. It's very good. You see, it's very Gal Beckerman. So I remembered the first name. Gal Beckerman. It's an excellent, excellent book. Let's read Halach Mo'anya, the beginning. That's one. the beginning. This is the bread of affliction that our fathers ate in the land of Egypt. Kol bichfin, anybody who's hungry, yesi v'yechel, come in and eat. Kol detzrich, anybody who's in need of korban pesach, this paschal lamb, yesi v'yifsach, we invite everybody and come in and join us. Hashata hacha, this year we are here. Lashon haba, ba'arad yisrael, next year we will be in the land of Israel. Hashata avde, now we are slaves. Lashon haba, b'nei chorin, and next year we will be b'nei chorin. What comes, but the first, very beginning, the very beginning. No. The beginning of the Haggadah. No, don't open up any pages. No. The very beginning. This is the Haggadah Leil Shimurim. The Haggadah Leil Shimurim was written by Rabbi Yechiel Michel Halevi Epstein. Rabbi Yechiel Michel Halevi Epstein was the author of the Oruch HaShulchan. The Oruch HaShulchan is a Shulchan Oruch on all of Halacha. It's an unbelievable work. It must be about 15, 16, 17 volumes. That a Yid who was the Chov in the city of Novardok wrote it, how he did it with it. There's more to tell you about that. Maybe we'll get some more of that in next week. My connection to this is, for years I had a little pamphlet of this Haggadah, and I decided one year I'm going to reprint this Haggadah. So together with my son-in-law, Yehuda Goldreich, who typed out the whole thing, we redid the whole thing. And we did it very quickly, very quickly. It was out some years ago, I don't remember. How many years ago was it? Did I write? There's an introduction here by me, which is the a brief biography of the Oruch HaShulchan in 2006. How long was that, huh? 2006. What makes this even more exciting now is that, exciting maybe it's not the right word, but recently a book was published entitled Taroch Lefonai Shulchan. It's a biography of the Oruch HaShulchan, Rabbi Yechiel Michel Halevi Epstein. There's a tragic story about that biography, but the biography is awesome. It was written by Eitam Henkin, Hashem Yimkom Tamo. 3 or 4 years ago, Eitam Henkin, 30 years old, his wife Naama, were gunned down by terrorists. Their 4 children were in the car. His mother is Rabbanit Chana Henkin of Nishmat. His father, great Talmud Chacham, Yehuda Herzl Henkin. This young man, Eitam Henkin, was brilliant. Brilliant and just an unusual personality. After he was killed, after the Shiva, they went to his computer and they wanted to get in who knows what's in his computer. He had written a tremendous amount, and somehow or other a sister of hers remembered when they were children, they lived in a place where there was a big sign that had a number, maybe it was a phone number, and she said, try that. They typed in the numbers, the computer opened up. And in that computer they have found a wealth of Torah. And one of them was a complete biography of the Oruch HaShulchan. And he has a chapter on the Leil Shimurim. Let me just, we'll get back to that. How many times have I said that already? Take a look at, now just go to the back page, just to the back page. Number one, a few psukim in Yeshayahu. These psukim in Yeshayahu are part of the Haftorah, I think, for Parshat Shoftim. Shimu elai rodfei tzedek mevakshei Hashem. Listen to me, those who pursue justice, those who seek God. Habitu, take a look. Look, study. Et tzur chu tzavtem. Look to the rock from which you were hewn. Where did you come from? Ve'el makevet bor nukartem. And to the hollow of the pit from which you were dug. Take a look at your very early beginnings. And now Yeshayahu goes on to explain, what did he mean by the rock from which you were hewn and the pit from which you were dug? Habitu el Avram avichum, take a look at your father Avram. Ve'el sorot techolalchem. And sorot techolalchem, who gave birth to you. Ki echad karasiv, I called him one. So he says, you know what the pshat in this pasuk is? Avram was not capable of having a child. Sarah was completely incapable of having a child. They were echad. Each one of them was single. V'avorcheu, and I blessed them. V'arbehu, and I made him many. So he says, don't you realize what happened over here? The very appearance of the Jewish people on the face of this earth was by two great absolute miracles. That's how we were brought into being. That was Avram, and that was a Sarah. And from that Avram and Sarah came a mighty people. You know what he's saying? He's saying we were born as a miracle, we exist as a miracle, we survive as a miracle, and we're living as a miracle today. What he's saying is that Yeshayahu is saying, there is no reason for Jews to despair, regardless of how terrible things are. Despair is not a word in our vocabulary. And then he says, Yeshayahu goes on to say, where will you see this confidence in God that he will do miracles? Ki nicham Hashem Tzion, nicham kol chovoteha, for Hashem shall comfort Tzion, he will comfort all of her wounds. Vayosem midborok ha'eden, he's going to turn the deserts of Eretz Israel into a Garden of Eden. Va'arvatan, her wasteland is going to be kegan Hashem, like the Garden of God. Sason v'simcha yimotzei bo, joy and gladness will be found in her. Toda, thanksgiving, the kol zimra, and the sound of music, the sound of music. So the Orach HaShulchan in the Leil Shimurim, our Goddess says, the Halachma Anya is just a proclamation of absolute faith. We're enslaved now. Next year it's going to be different. We are in the exile now. Next year it's going to be different. In other words, the introduction to the entire Haggadah is an introduction which says you have to have faith. We started out as a miracle. We have survived as a miracle. And the exodus from Egypt was a miracle. And our return to Eretz Yisrael is going to be a miracle. This, he says, is the introduction to the whole Haggadah. It puts everything in its perspective. We're not talking about events or a process that took place in a natural manner. No. Well, we're going to start going there. Dam, Tzvadeya, Kinim, Orov, Deves, Shrin. the tzach, hadash, bachav. It's all miracle. And if you question, if you're worried about it, just take a look at the history of the Jewish people. The halach mo'anya is the introduction of the frame of mind that one has to have when one sits down to the Seder. That's right. Today it's one thing, tomorrow it's going to be different. Jews were only able to accomplish that because that's the way, because they felt that. Oh, I just read a story yesterday. God, a shir nearly went by without the Jerusalem Post. I read an article yesterday by Ari Harrow. He describes a visit of Netanyahu and a number of his, and this is not, you don't have to vote for Netanyahu because of this. There's no electioneering here. He's the only good man left, but all right. So he described, I'm telling you, I got choked up. Oh, did I get choked up? I read this story. They were in Europe and they went to visit Wannsee. Wannsee is the suburb of Berlin where in early 1942, Heydrich, Himmler, Eichmann, Hitler, Yamach Shemam, four times, where the decision was made on the final solution. And there's a book there for visitors to sign in. So Harrow, as they're walking away, he wants to see what did Netanyahu write in there. Am Yisrael Chai. That's all. That's what Halach Ma'anya is. Halach Ma'anya, we believe we're going to make it. We're going to make it. Am Yisrael Chai. For somebody who has the wisdom to write that into that book in that most accursed building on the face of this earth, you understand? It can't be all that bad. I'm not saying that his son is okay or his wife is okay. Don't get me wrong. Everybody has to have something against the Netanyahu's. Anyway, to be continued, but the ikir is that the structure of the Haggadah is so beautiful that it is a mitzvah that comes with instructions, like my Zanussi. Dryer. Okay, that's it. Let's go.